Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal wills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils fills should threaten to undo, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who it assigneth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Well, we had somewhat of a day off yesterday. If you were looking for us to go on the air, we just had some people come in. People just came and gave us a surprise visit. And as a result of that, and as a result of a few other things, I decided that let's just put this broadcast for the next day. And people come over, they travel a great distance, and my wife has to start cooking and just getting some things ready, and I need to roll up my sleeves and help the missus. So we are right now, just enjoying the day. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And in the studio with me is Hershey, my dear friend, Dr. G, a colleague of mine, a dear sister in the Lord who is going on vacation, and she dropped off her dog. And we love Hershey. Hershey's part of the family. And Dr. G, I hope that you kissed Hershey goodbye, because I don't think my wife is going to give him back. My wife loves Hershey. And she said to Hershey, she said, "Hershey, come to bed with Mama." And I had to remind her, "No, you're not her mama. You're not Hershey's mama. He's got a mama." Well, you can't tell my wife that Hershey's not her baby and that she's not Hershey's mama. So I don't know. I don't know if Dr. G is going to get Hershey back. I may have to part with some of my library. I may have to give Dr. G some very rare books in a trade for Hershey, because my wife is set. She is set on keeping the Hershey dog. Well, boy, you sit there. You remain quiet now. If you happen to sniff a jackass bishop, if you happen to sniff out on the Houston Church bishop, you go to barking. You let me know. But sit there, and now he's wagging his tail. He's excited. Sit there, Hershey. Sit. And Hershey's going to be with me in the studio every single day. Either until the Lord comes, or if my wife lets the owner come back and pick him up, I think that's going to be a no-go. She's not letting Hershey go. Well, saints, we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful broadcast for you, as always, when you tune in to Reformation News. You just know that you're going to be enlightened and empowered and blessed. And we have a blessing for you today. So quickly, let's go to the 11th proposition. And let me welcome in all of our audience from the UK and from Germany, and of course from Norway. We have a tremendous listenership from Norway. And of course our brothers and sisters in Canada, up to the north, and here in the United States, and all from other parts of the world, from Zambia, from Barbados. We want to welcome our listenership. And, you know, we haven't heard yet from the Joint College. We haven't heard yet from the Joint College of Jackass Church Bishops. We haven't heard yet from the Joint College of Nehushtan Church Bishops. No, we haven't heard from them yet. But we've been hearing from you. And what you've been telling us is that you can't get enough of these propositions. Proposition. You just can't get enough. And what is a proposition? A proposition is a short statement. Proposition is a thesis. A proposition is a bullet point designed, in this case, in our case, designed to highlight the abuses and malpractices and heretical teaching in the church today. The heretical teaching in the church today. So, here's proposition number 11. Proposition number 11 reads like this. By its own admission, to see this with all clarity is to go to the website of the Joint College of African American Bishops. They don't hide it. It's right there on their website. So by its own admission, the Joint College of African American Bishops is both Anglican and Romish in Episcopacy. That means that the template the model that they follow in establishing the office of the bishop in the black church is a mirror image of what the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, presents and what the Anglican Church presents. Both churches are tied to the hip. The Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, they're one and the same as far as I'm concerned. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. Not much difference. Not much difference. Now, they can argue, but not much difference. How do we know that there's not much difference? Well, both churches have human heads. In the Roman Catholic Church, it's the Pope. In the Anglican Church, it's the British monarch. Both have human heads. And both churches are dying. You look at the Anglican Church, dying. You look at the Roman Catholic Church, dying. Because there is no life. There is no life apart from Christ Jesus. There is no life. So now in the black church, again, they proudly proclaim that their episcopacy is modeled after Romish and Anglican episcopacy. Thus, this makes this religious fraternity akin to an apocalyptic beast. Let me read that again. Thus, this makes this religious fraternity, what religious fraternity? The Joint College of African American Bishops. It makes them akin to an apocalyptic beast, which has two heads and a little horn, which speaks blasphemous things against the one true head of the church, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I know, because I put the scriptures there in the proposition, I know that there are only two beasts, or really three beasts. The dragon is a beast. The dragon, Satan, is a beast in Revelation 12. And then in the earth, the dragon, that horrible beast, gives power to two beasts. One that rises up out of the sea, the first beast found in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. That beast that rises first out of the sea, that is the Antichrist. That is the man of sin. That is the son of perdition. The second beast that rises up out of the earth is the false prophet. That's Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18. So, when I look at the Joint College of African American Bishops, when I look at the Joint College, I say to myself, well, it could be just like one of those apocalyptic beasts in the book of Revelations. Why? Because the beasts in the book of Revelation have many heads or are a composite of different creatures. For example, the false prophet. Well, the false prophet looks like a lamb on the outside, but when he speaks with the guttural intonations of the dragon. You see, so he's got a sheep's body, but a dragon's throat. And then you read about the beast in the book of Daniel. And the beast in the book of Daniel, and I give you the scriptures, Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, verses 24 through 25, chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. There's a beast. And this beast has a little horn that speaks blasphemous things. So when I look at the Joint College of African American Bishops, in my mind, I say, you know, they could actually have a spot in the book of Revelation. They too, the Joint College can actually be a beast. Now, I don't want to insert things into scripture because, you know, cursed are those who add to the scriptures and cursed are those who take away. So by no means I'm adding to scripture. I'm just saying. when I think of the Joint College of African American Bishops, I see it as a beast with two heads and with a little horn. See? And that little horn, just like the little horn in Daniel, speaks blasphemous things. Yeah, I see the Joint College of African American Bishops as something satanic. So, you're asking yourself, well, Radio Reformer, why would you say that the Joint College of African American Bishops resembles a beast with two heads? Well, we have already established that the Joint College of African American Bishops wants to be just like Rome and just like the Church of England. There's no denying that. So that would make them a two-headed beast. That would make them a two-headed beast because one head is the Roman Catholic Church, whose head is the Pope, and the other head would be the Anglican Church, whose Pope is the British monarch. And both of those churches are reporting, if you will, tremendous declines in attendance. Not surprising. There's no Holy Spirit in those churches. There's no Word of God. It's the Word of God preached with Holy Spirit power that produces life. You can't have life without Christ. For he is the true vine and we are the branches. And he says, without me, you have no life. Without me, you can do nothing. So being attached, if the Pope is the vine and we are the branches, we're going to die. And you say, well, why do you say that, Radio Reformer? Well, how many popes has the Roman Catholic Church had? 265. Well, why? Why has it had 265 popes? Well, because the head of their church is a man, and men die. So you are attached. You, as a head, you have a human head. When that human dies, you do a head transplant, which is a papal election, and you insert another head. You introduce another confused individual to run the so-called church. So it's had 265 deaths. It's had 206. So what has it had? It's changing heads. The Roman Catholic Church is, but in the process of changing heads, which constantly die, the church is dying. And it's not a church, it's a cult. But we're using the term church because that's how the world identifies it. Well, the same thing with the Anglican Church. How many sovereign heads has it had? Well, since Henry VIII, you do the math. And the head that it has now, Queen Elizabeth II, what is she? What is she, in her 90s? Is she close? Is she getting up there? Pretty soon they'll be sticking her in the ground, and you'll have a new sovereign. You'll have a new head of the Church of England. And that person, if it's Charles, Charles is right behind his mother, Prince Charles. He might even die before his mother. So when you have human heads, the body will die. The reason why Christ Church lives on is because we have an eternal head, the eternal Son of God, who liveth forevermore. So you see, what is in store for the black church? What with its new two-headed monster, what is in store for the black church? What is in store? Certain death. I can predict the church, the black church, is on life support. Once you have two heads, that's it. You're in trouble. When I was a kid, During the summertime, we would visit. If you went to Coney Island in New York and Brooklyn, or whether you went to Palisades Amusement Park there in New Jersey, whatever one of those parks you went to, I remember that there were sideshows. There were these museums that had these oddities. And I remember going in, and my father, we would pay 10 cents. And, you know, you can tour this museum that was under a tent. It was like a circus freak show. It was a sideshow. And they'll be outside, and somebody inviting you and encouraging you to go in, and they have this kind of person in there and have that. Well, I remember going in and going through this section of the museum, going through the section of the sideshow that had all of these creatures in jars, all of these creatures in formaldehyde. And every one of these creatures in formaldehyde had two heads. It was a two-headed turtle or a two-headed snake. Everything had two heads in formaldehyde. And that left a great, I said to my dad, but dad, don't they say that two heads are better than one? He says, son, that's a lie. Two heads are not better than one, because if two heads were better than one, why didn't God give us two heads? And the light bulb went on. No, two heads are not better than one. Now, when it comes to the church, we have one head, eternal, irreplaceable, permanent, and life-giving, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want your church to wind up in formaldehyde, you go the way of the jackass church bishops. You go the way of the Nehushtan church bishops. You follow them, and you'll find your church in formaldehyde, part of Satan's freak show. So the black church today is like a two-headed beast. If I can view the black church in end time prophecy, I would say that the black church is just like a two-headed beast. One head is Romish, the other head is Anglican. And then it has a little protruding horn. And if you look at the slide presentation that I put there for you, you can actually see the little horn. And that little horn speaks blasphemous things. And, you know, after doing the write-up for the broadcast, I said, you know, maybe it's not a little horn. Maybe I should have written little pimple. Or maybe I should have described it as a little zit or a little blackhead. And I'm not calling it a blackhead because they're black, they're African-American. You know, it's just a little pimple, a little zit, a little blackhead. So I would compare the African-American church. If the Lord Jesus would say to me, okay, if you were to characterize the African American church, and if you were to describe her in apocalyptic end time prophetic terms, how would you describe the black church, Ray Uniform? And I would say, Lord, I would compare the black church to a two headed monster with a little horn, and maybe not a little horn, maybe a zit, maybe a little pimple. Maybe a little blackhead that speaks blasphemous. And the Lord would say, well, why aren't they deserving? Why aren't they deserving of being called the little horn? I said, well, you know, I think maybe if I say that the African-American church has a little horn, I might be giving them too much pomp. I might be giving them too much power. Maybe if I just call them little zit or little blackhead or little pimple, it would really describe what they are, which is something insignificant. Because when you have a zit in your face, it's not life-threatening. A little blackhead isn't, you know, It's there. It's there, and you can put the medication on it, and you can use the scrub to take it out. But it's a temporary thing. I mean, a blackhead, a pimple, a zit comes in. You know, pimples come and go. Little zits come and go. Little blackheads come and go. So maybe saying that the black church resembles an apocalyptic beast with two heads and a little horn just might be giving them too much credit. Maybe it's just two old big heads with a little zit. And of course, this little zit has a big mouth, and this little zit speaks blasphemous things against the one true head of the church, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I want to encourage you, I want to encourage you to read the scriptures, to read Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 and Revelation 18 so that you can understand what it is that I'm saying when I'm using apocalyptic imagery to kind of describe what the African-American church is today. Now, to illustrate this, I have pulled up a video, and some of you may remember, some of you may not remember. There was a football player by the name of Rosie Grier, and there was a very famous actor, very world-renowned actor by the name of Ray Milan. And these two men from opposite sides of life did a movie together called The Thing with Two Heads. Now, this was back, I think, in the 70s when they were doing those black exploitation movies where the black people were down. We African-American people were in the dumps. And the white man was keeping us down, and so that's that era of movies, where you had Little Caesar and you had Black Samson and you had The Shaft. Well, it was around that time, and Foxy Brown and Black Belt Kelly. Remember, I used to go to the theater. And you would see these black exploitation movies. And, they were trying to give you black heroes. They were trying to give people in the black community black heroes that were pushing back against the man. Well, in this movie, you have a white bigot whose head, the white bigot is dying. He's dying. Let me set this up for you. The white bigot is dying. His body is failing him, but he wants to continue living. So there's a black man who's about to go to the electric chair, and so he gets a reprieve because the white man finds a way to get his head attached to the black man's body. So when the white man wakes up and when the black man wakes up after the operation, the two heads are attached. So it's called The Thing with Two Heads. So here is the trailer. To this bizarre movie, The Thing with Two Heads. Here it is.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
More power to you, brother.
I want to transplant my head on a healthy body.
I think I'd like to donate my body to science after all.
So they transplanted the white head onto the black body. Who would have suspected that neither would care for the idea too much?
What are you guys doing to me?
Shut up.
Where's the rest of you?
We are joined together temporarily.
Now, there they are. They're in the recovery room. And the black man says, Rosie Grier says, "What's going on? Why are you so close to me?" And the white man says, "Shut up." Ray Milan says, "Shut up. We are forever joined together." So even in this movie, and it's a black exploitation movie. Why is it a black exploitation movie? Because the black man's getting a raw deal. See, the white man gets to live on the black man's expense. And the black man has to put up with it because he has to live with this white head next to him. So it's called The Thing with Two Heads. Oh, it was a crummy movie, but as a kid, you're fascinated. You know, you're fascinated. You're fascinated. I mean, I didn't care. I mean, you talked to me about A Thing with Two Heads. I remember all those creatures in those jars in formaldehyde. So I wanted to see how can it be? And, you know, Rosie Grier was a star football player in his day. Star football player. And Ray Milland was a renowned actor. Renowned. I mean, Hollywood famous. One of the leading men. And you say to yourself, how could Ray Milland agree to do this crappy movie? I mean, this is rubbish. I mean, not only is the concept far-fetched, I mean, the movie's bad. It's just bad. And you have to figure, well, Ray Milland needed the money. He just prostituted himself to do the movie because the dude needed the money. And Rosie Grier, a black football player, back in the day, you know, that's when O.J. Simpson and Jim Brown, they were all doing movies. So, I mean, it was an opportunity for Rosie Grier to expand his audience. So Rosie Grier says, not a problem for me, but Ray Milland, again, a Hollywood star, agreed to do this. I mean, it's the movie's terrible. But here it is again, The Thing with Two Heads.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
More power to you, brother.
I want to transplant my head on a healthy body.
I think I'd like to donate my body to science after all.
So they transplanted the white head onto the black body. Who would have suspected that neither would care for the idea too much?
What are you guys doing to me?
Shut up.
Where's the rest of you?
We are joined together temporarily.
That's it. They're joined together. And there goes the movie. I sat there. I watched it as a kid. Then my friend said, would you like to see it again? It was a Saturday movie. I said, nah, I saw it once. That's enough. Didn't care for it. Now, why is this so apropos for today? Well, because I see the Joint College of African American Bishops just like The Thing with Two Heads. Maybe those guys over there at the Joint College of Jackass and the Houston Bishops, maybe they went to go see this movie too, and that's where they got the idea to have two heads. Maybe the idea was planted into their subconscious. Because these dopes want to have two heads. None of them are black. No, the two heads are white. Think about that. Here are these black dudes who are always crying. These guys are always crying. Racism. They're always saying, down with the man. I know because I used to hang with these guys. Down with the man. Down with the man. Down with the man. Look how the man has our neighborhoods. Down with the man. And yet, they go to the man and say, you can be the two heads. We can have a white Romish head and a white Anglican head. And we'll be the black zit. Think about it. Hershey, calm down. Hershey's there. He's looking at me. He's wagging his tail. He's saying, go on, radio reformer, go on. Hershey loves it. His tail is wagging. His tail is okay, boy, calm down. I'll calm down too. So there it is. Here's black folk who marched. Black folks, black folk who can remember the day when they couldn't sit at certain counters and couldn't drink out of certain water fountains and couldn't sit. They just couldn't sit in certain seats on the bus. Guys who were militant, and now they're on their knees kissing the Pope's slipper. Go figure. You can't. I mean, these guys are still waiting to get their 40 acres and a mule. They're still waiting. Go figure. Some black dudes saying, we'll become the blackhead. Now notice the terminology now. We'll be the blackhead. We'll be so tiny. We'll just be a speck on the head, a speck on the face. We'll be the blackhead, and we'll let you two guys be the big heads. Is it far-fetched? Okay, now you say, all right, prove it to me that they got two heads. Well, here it is. On page 41, it says, the Joint College of Bishops, referring to the Joint College of African American Bishops, is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. I didn't write that. The Primus Episcopus, the lead nut, the chief primate among the jackass bishops, the ultimate prelate among the Nehushtan church bishops. He wrote this in his book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal church. Well, you didn't create it. You just copied it. You just said, I mean, this is a lie. He's got to change the title. You see, the title should read a handbook on how to copy episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal. Not creating, copying. The guy copied. Why? Because he says, the Joint College of Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. In other words, it comes from England and it comes from Rome. Two whiteheads. So it's not like Rosie. At least you had a blackhead and a whitehead when you had the thing with two heads. No, you don't even have that. In this dopey organization, you don't even have a black head and a white head. You have two white heads. And a little tiny black head, which speaks blasphemous things. A little tiny black head, which speaks blasphemous things. Now here it is again. Let me play the trailer. The thing with two heads. Here it is.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. But what?
It seemed like a good idea at the time. For African American clergy to be both Anglican and Apostolic. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Back in 1994, when the four men got together, when they were on their way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I mean, we read it for you. We read the history for you in a previous proposition. It seemed like a good idea. They were on their way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to buy insignias and robes to form the Joint College of African American Bishops. And when they decided to do this, who did they copy? Rome, the Romish Church, and the Anglican Church. Two white heads. Here were men who were talking about how the Cushite man must rise. I know because I was among them. I heard the jargon. The Cushite man must rise. The Hamite man must be given his rightful place. And yet, when they settled on episcopacy, they said, let the white man lead. Let the white man provide the two heads, and we'll be the little tiny black head. Here it is again.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Seemed like a great idea to form this organization.
The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
You see, the white man was dying. Who was dying? The Anglican Church was dying, and the Roman Catholic Church was dying. So what happened? The black man wanted to join. The black man wanted to go up the ladder. You see, in this clip, the black man needed some time to prove his innocence because he had been railroaded and he was going to the electric chair, so he was getting a reprieve. But in our version, the white man is dying. Two white men are dying. And they just need a black body. They need a black church, you see, because the church is the body of Christ. So they need a black body. The two heads need a black body. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Good idea.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
More power to you, brother.
More power to you, brother. You're becoming a bishop. More power to you. You didn't get your 40 acres and a mule, but you got a pectoral cross. You got a Dagonian mitre. You got a Romish skull map. You got an Episcopal ring. More power to you, brother. Now when you say black power and you raise your fist, now you got a ring on there. More power to you, brother. You see how crazy this is, folks? You see how crazy it is? But it's what's happening today. It's happening today. Now, let's leave the two. I've already established, because it's here. I mean, you want me to give you another proof that the two heads are Romish and Anglican? Okay. Let's go to dress code. In the same book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating or Copying Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, let us turn to page number 48. 48 in the book. The Metropolitan of this organization, the Metropolitan, he writes on page 48, the principal color of the presiding bishop's office is scarlet. It should be understood that the presiding bishop has the option of wearing any of the church's liturgical colors, such as Roman purple, English purple. Well, Roman purple is Roman Catholic purple, and English purple is Anglican purple, you see? It just might be that on a given day, the two white heads might say, "Hey, let's wear Roman purple today, and tomorrow we'll wear English purple." The two colors, the two purples, because they're different. There's a slight difference. Both testify to the heads on top. See? I mean, listen, folks, we can do this all day long. We can do this all day long. I can go through this little pamphlet that this guy wrote, which they call a book. It's a pamphlet. I can go through this pamphlet and give you example after example. Now that we've established that, let's talk about the little horn, the little horn, the little horn. Let's talk about the little horn, which is really the little zit, which is really the little blackhead, which is, you see, on the head is the Roman Catholic, one head is the Roman Catholic Church, the other head is the Anglican Church, and then the zit on the face is the entire Joint College of African American Bishops. But of course, this organization has a spokesperson. So the spokesperson is the one who's allowed to speak these blasphemous things, and he's the little zit, he's the little pimple, he's the little blackhead. So let's hear the little blackhead say blasphemous things. Let's listen. I have two audio clips. I have two. And the person you're going to hear in this audio clip is the person who wrote the book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. A misleading title because he didn't create anything. He just copied. So here he is speaking blasphemous things, one of many blasphemous things that this man says at a consecration service where they're elevating a bishop. Here it is.
A ring.
Now, the ring he's referring to is the Episcopal ring, the ring that bishops get put on their hand. Okay? All right.
A ring, a symbol of government and collegiality with her fellow bishops. She is one among all of us. This is her ring, symbol of authority. And we respect her truthfully. You don't really grab a bishop and hug a bishop. Put it on. Get it on. Okay. You respect the bishop by saluting her ring. That's your way of saying, I honor you. You don't just reach your hand out to shake hands with a bishop. You let a bishop extend his or her hand first.
Teach, bishop.
Ah. Oh, I didn't know that. Just read up. How you be? Put your hand down and just speak.
Amen.
And, you know, gentlemen with class know when she extends her hand with that ring, we just simply salute her by kissing the ring. We ain't got to hug her and squeeze her and bang her into us. Don't do that. She's a bishop.
As you can see, that's blasphemy. Why is it blasphemy? Because in 1 Kings 19, God says that he has reserved unto himself 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal nor kissed him. In Hosea chapter 13, Hosea the minor prophet chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, it speaks about not kissing the Baal, not kissing the bull image. Over and over in Scripture, the idea of kissing something is to worship it. This is blasphemy. Even the Greek word worship, proskuneo, pros to draw near, and kuneo to kiss, it is to draw near to God and blow kisses to God. It is to give God our worship. You don't kiss a human being. You don't worship a human being. This is blasphemy. Well, you can't hug a bishop. Let the bishop extend their hand and then you kiss it. And when he kissed it, he bowed. You don't see that in the audio. You can't hear that in the audio, but he's bowing. Here's more.
Bishops that will, in a minute, you can come and salute her and go back to your seats.
And what will happen shortly is that all the bishops who are present, which are like 30 of them, they all line up, and one by one they walk up to her and they bow and they kiss her ring. You see? This is what's being introduced into the black church. The little blackhead who is speaking blasphemous things, like the little horn in Daniel, is speaking blasphemous things. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Now, again, in case you thought that the man is just, he had a bad day at this consecration service, well, it's in print. It's in his book, The Bishopric. On page 54, he says, the ring is the symbol of royal sonship and episcopal collegiality. The ring is usually signet or jeweled. It is worn on the right hand, the ring finger. When it is worn, no other ring is proper except the wedding band for those bishops who are married. The same rule holds true when wearing the civic attire. We are never to wear ornamentation when in uniform. Loud buttons or carnations are completely out of order, regardless of the occasion, when in our vestments or civic attire. Grooming standards are vital. Excuse me. He goes on to say, grooming standards are vital if we are to maintain credibility among our people and in the world community. It is required that we wear our hair well cut and groomed at all times. Facial hairs must be kept extremely well trimmed and always in proper and tasteful lengths. Manicures are encouraged, and since it is with our hands that we impart blessings, we encourage our bishops and clergy alike to take special care to attend to this matter. In the case of the bishops, we would remind that people venerate our office. People do what? People do what? He says, people venerate our office by kissing our episcopal ring or our right hand. People venerate. People worship us. See, this is blasphemy, for worship is due to only one alone, and that is Christ Jesus. You see, that's this little blackhead on the two white faces speaking blasphemous things. Let me play another audio for you. I think this audio would be also enlightening, Here is this metropolitan again, the same archbishop, metropolitan, primus episcopus. I mean, this is the big shot among all of the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. And here he is consecrating another bishop because, as I told you before, in my opinion, In my observations, this organization is nothing more than an elevation mill. Elevation mill, where people are just getting promoted at record pace. So here is this bishop again, and listen closely to what he says to this newly consecrated bishop, as he hands them what they call the crozier or the shepherd's staff. And we're picking this up at the 11th minute and 17 seconds of this video. And this is the consecration of Lee Alexander Scott. The consecration of Lee Alexander Scott during the Joint College of Bishops Congress 2015. So, 11 minutes, 17 seconds into the video, let us listen.
These are his armor bearers. I give you the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your left hand. The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people, free to receive their respect and their adulation.
Did you hear that? I'm giving you the shepherd's staff, and you hold the shepherd's staff in your left hand. In your, where do you hold the shepherd's staff? In your left hand. Now, what are you going to do with that stick? What are you going to do with that? What is that for? For nothing. For nothing. Because these people aren't shepherds. They're kings. All of that is just theater, what we call theater. So you got a shepherd's staff, but you don't shepherd anybody. It's just, listen, all of that is just jewelry. Costume jewelry. That's all that is. So he's got a shepherd's staff in his left hand. So you hold a shepherd's staff in your left hand, but leave your right hand free. So because it's with your right hand that you hold your Bible, a Bible you never crack open, a Bible you never use. And then also you use your right hand to bless the people and to receive their adulation. In case you missed that, let me play it for you again.
The only thing you hold in your right hand is the word of God, but you keep your right hand free to bless and free to greet the people. Free to receive their respect and their adulation.
Free to receive their respect and their adulation. Free to. Now, what is adulation? Well, I went to the Oxford Dictionary, and the Oxford Dictionary states adulation is excessive admiration. So he's saying now, keep your right hand free. Keep your right hand, because remember, folks, remember, according to page 54, starting on page 54, you put the Episcopal ring on your right hand. The big signet or jeweled ring is to go on your right hand. So you got to keep your right hand free in order to what? To receive the people's respect and what? Adulation. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, what he taught at the other consecration, that you don't hug a bishop, you just don't put your body on a bishop. No, you wait the bishop to extend their hand, because you're not worthy. So you got to let the bishop extend the hand, and then you are to bow and kiss the ring. That's the respect and adulation that he's referring to here. So what is adulation? Well, it's excessive admiration. Excessive. It comes from the Latin, and I think that this metropolitan would appreciate the Latin. The Latin adulare. Adulare means to fawn on. To fawn on. That's what it means. Now, the Oxford Thesaurus tells us that adulation is hero worship. Hero worship. Think about it. Notice. This black man is now the hero that you worship. This newly ordained black man now, he is the hero that you're to worship. Well, when I go to church, I can't worship a man and worship Christ too. That would be what? Idolatry. That would be idolatry. So you can look it up for yourself in the Oxford Dictionary and the Oxford Thesaurus. It's, again, what is adulation? Hero worship. What is adulation? Idolization. Idolization is spelled I-D-O-L, like idol. I-D-O-L-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. Notice the word idol in it. You're idolizing someone. to show adulation is hero worship, idolization, adoration, veneration, glorification. It's all in the Oxford Thesaurus. So, as you can see, the little blackhead, the metropolitan, the voice of the Joint College of African American Bishops is speaking blasphemous things. Against whom? Against whom, folks? Well, who's the head of the church? Who's the head of the church? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, let me remind the metropolitan, since it seems he hasn't cracked open his Bible in quite some time, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him a name that is above every name, that exclusively or only at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Now, if you notice, the Pope who blasphemously claims that he is the vicar of Christ, he wears a three-level tiara. You can Google this, folks. The Pope wears a three-level tiara. All of them do. And this tiara states, when he wears this special hat that he wears on special occasions, he is declaring, the Pope is, that he is Lord and God in heaven, in earth, under the earth. You can Google it. Google papal tiara, and you will see that the three levels, what is one level? I'm worshipped in heaven. I am the God and Lord of heaven. But I am also the God and Lord of the earth. But I am also God and the Lord of the under the earth, the underworld. So, if you see verse 10 of Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So now this man, this little blackhead, not a little horn, but this little blackhead who represents, who's the mouthpiece, who is the voice of the Joint College of African American Bishops, he is encouraged, and I only played two clips. I'm waiting for the debate, because I'm going to use his own words, and I'm going to pull up the Oxford Dictionary, because I didn't say adulation. He used the word adulation, and this guy has two doctorates from England. He has two doctorates from England. That means he studied in England. I'm pretty sure he knows very well what the word adulation means. Having studied in England, having two doctorates, one in canon law and another one, and I don't remember. So he has two doctorates, having studied in the UK. And he should know very well what the word adulation means in the Roman Catholic and Anglican context. He knows very well what it means. It means excessive admiration. We're to only admire Christ. We're only to love Christ. We're only to worship Christ. Now, the children of Israel were rebuked by God and the prophets because they worshipped and kissed Baal. They worshipped and they kissed false gods. And this is why we wrote the book, Jackass Church Bishops, because only a jackass would say the things that this man has said in these two videos. Only an asinine, hee-hawing jackass would say the stupid things. The retarded, this guy is speaking like a retard. Yes, 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 yes. The emperor has no clothes. I'm sorry to tell you, your metropolitan has no theology. At least, he's got doctrines of demons. Yeah, he's got demonic theology, but not biblical theology. He's got canon law theology, which is a meshing together, a combination of human traditions and doctrines of demons. That's what it is. So, my brothers and sisters, there is proposition number 11. The African American church, if I was to compare it to an apocalyptic beast in the book of Daniel or in the book of Revelation, I would say that it resembles a beast with two heads, two white heads, one Romish, one Anglican, and with a little black head, a little zit, a little pimple, who speaks blasphemous things. And if you don't like what I'm saying, then you need to man up over there at the Joint College of Nehushtan Bishops. Because that's what they are, Nehushtan Bishops. Nehushtan means that they become an idol. They want people to genuflect before them and bow before them and kiss their ring. Have you ever heard such blasphemous things? We've heard it in the Roman Catholic Church. We've heard it in the Anglican Church. But did you ever think that you would hear such blasphemy in the black church? Well, there you have it, dear saints of God. I love you in Jesus. I love you in the Lord. And we're here to contend for the faith. We're not here to play games. We're not here to play games. You want somebody to play games? Tune into another broadcast. This is life and death for us. So as I conclude this broadcast, and I promise to be back tomorrow, let me leave you with the trailer of the thing with two heads. Let me leave you with that. I want you to listen to that, laugh, and then cry. Laugh because this was a dopey movie in the 70s that nobody ever wants to see. Nobody ever wants to see this dopey movie again. That's why we laugh. That's why we laugh. But we laugh because the movie was dopey, but we cry because this is what the black church has become today, a thing with two heads. And worse than that, it's a thing with two heads and a little black, blasphemous blackhead who just spews out stupidity and the most blasphemous things. Here's the thing with two heads. God bless you.
It seemed like a good idea at the time. The white bigot was dying, and the black soul brother needed time to prove his innocence.
More power to you, brother.
I want to transplant my head on a healthy body.
I think I'd like to donate my body to science after all.
So they transplanted the white head onto the black body. Who would have suspected that neither would care for the idea too much?
What are you guys doing to me?
Shut up.
Where's the rest of you?
We are joined together temporarily.
Williams, stop this car immediately. Why don't you shut up?
Hey, that's Delta, man.
I should have known your kind stick together.
Will you please stop this infernal machine?
Oh, just shut up.
Help!
Shut up.
You, Doctor?
So far, so good.
Then how about you taking old happy face off of here?
He's shooting at us!
Man, this car's a real dud.
Could I have a cigarette?
Oh, sure, honey.
Hey, man, are we smoking while I'm eating?
Window and see if any more is coming.
Ray Milland and Rosie Greer as The Thing with Two Heads.
You get some sleep, baby.
Why don't you stay here for a little while?
It's no use, honey. Maybe when I get used to it.
Now you know you got to go.